Amen, amen. Aren't you glad you serve a living God? Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles this evening and go with me to 1 Samuel.
1 Samuel.
First Samuel chapter 18 tonight. First Samuel chapter 18, and if you understand the context here, 1 Samuel 17 is where David has killed Goliath, and even before that, he's been anointed king. Here's a man that knows he's going to be king. God's already used him to slay Goliath, and now we come to chapter 18. The Bible says in verse 1, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very much wroth. And the saying displeased him. And he said, They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand, as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David, even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely. He was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, Behold, my elder daughter, Merab, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me, and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, Let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. And David said unto Saul, Who am I? And what is my life or my father's family in Israel, that I should be the son-in-law to the king? But it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel, the Meholathite, to wife. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, Thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain. And Saul commanded his servants, saying, Commune with David secretly, and say, Behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore, be the king's son-in-law. And Saul's servants spake those words in the ears of David, and David said, Seemeth it to you a little thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? And the servants of Saul told him, saying, On this manner spake David. And Saul said, Thus shall you say to David, The king desireth not any dowry but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men, and David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass, after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. I want to focus in on a phrase tonight in verse 29. There in the second part of the verse, it says, And Saul became David's enemy continually. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand and preach. Thank you, Lord, for the good song service we've had and for the message we heard this morning. We pray that you would just help us, strengthen us with this thought here tonight, and use it, Lord, to help us in the coming days. And pray that you fill me with your Holy Spirit and power, and use me tonight in this message. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The word enemy is defined as a foe or an adversary, one who hates another and wishes him injury or attempts to do him injury to gratify his own malice or ill will. That's a pretty strong word. We use it a lot. We see it. But sometimes we forget the definition and how much hatred can be involved in that. And David here finds himself in a position of having an enemy. Through nothing that he's done, through no choice, we all end up with enemies in our life, if you will, people that are trying to work against us for their betterment. That could be a person at work. That could be a person in our family. God forbid it be a person in the church. But, you know, when pride takes over, a lot of things can happen. And for David, he works for Saul. Now he's married his daughter. And while some of us may have some folks that we work with that are tend to work against us or don't like us, we can kind of leave that environment and go home at some point and get away from that. Maybe it's somebody in a distant, you know, family relationship where you see them every once in a while at a family reunion and you don't have to be around it all the time. David was steeped. He was deep into this relationship with Saul and constantly around a person who had become his enemy. David had not done anything to cause this. David had not done anything wrong to Saul. This king, his father-in-law, hated David. The Bible says that he became his enemy. Sit back for a moment. There's some people in our lives that are like, okay, yeah. I mean, they probably don't want to kill me. But, hey, maybe they want to make me look bad in front of my boss so they can elevate themselves, and these kind of things happen. And you see where David, so many things are going on in Saul's mind and in his heart against David. And David is, yes, he sees some of the things that are physically happening as a result of those things, but he doesn't realize, I don't think, how far Saul is going in planning to try to get rid of his enemy. And so I think we find ourselves in positions in our life sometime where, whether it's even unprovoked or sometimes that's a selfish motive there with that person that we're dealing with, we have a relationship with, we work with, whoever it is, we end up, we find ourselves one day, this guy is my enemy. And it's not because he's my enemy, it's because he has made himself my enemy. And we find there in chapter 18 and verse 12 that, and even verse 29, that Saul was afraid of David. Verse 29 again, it says, Saul was yet the more afraid of David. Fear caused this enemy relationship, if you will, to form. Saul is there. He wants one thing. He wants to hold on to his kingdom. He wants to hold on to his fame. He wants to hold on to his power. And he sees a threat to that. And there's a fear that builds there. He understands that God is not with him anymore, and he sees God with David and just blessing him. He only asked for 100 Philistines, right? David gave him 200. I mean, just this stuff that's not necessary. He's not doing anything wrong, but it just grinds into Saul. And these things continually affect Saul in a negative manner, and this fear builds, and it's unprovoked. But David finds himself with an enemy. What do we do? What do we do? You know, you think about Jesus Christ. Well, he had a lot of enemies when he was here. And the one thing I'd love to mute right now is the He Gets Us commercials. Come on. Let's not dumb it down like that. Let's not take the Son of God and compare him to a gangster and a rebel. But let me tell you, he did come. And he was right. He didn't do anything to anybody, did he? But he did gain some enemies over just being right, standing for right. And what I'm warning us about here tonight is that, you know what? If we decide to live publicly right, if we decide to be Christians out in public, if we decide to be Christians at the family reunion, if we decide to be Christians in these places of work, there's naturally going to be some division. There's going to be some things happen, and people are going to become our enemies, not by our choice. We don't want that. Christ didn't want that with the Pharisees. David didn't want that with Saul. David, we'll find, is even more patient, patiently waiting for the throne than if nothing would have ever happened between him and Saul. I think he could have been just as patient. Just for a few moments tonight, I want to touch on a few points, what David did, on what we can do when we find ourselves with this enemy-type relationship. Come into our life. Again, David had no choice in this matter. He had an enemy whether he liked it or not. He had to deal with this. He couldn't just say, well, no, he's not my enemy. Now, it does take two people to have contention. But that doesn't mean we don't have enemies. completely one-sided. And whether we like it or not, we need to learn how to deal with some of those situations. And it can either have a great testimony for God at the end, or if we do the wrong thing, it can really, really drag the Lord's name through the mud. So we must be so careful. Thankfully, we have a great example in David and what he did. Number one tonight, just throwing out a few thoughts here tonight about this situation that David finds himself. He finds himself with an enemy, not of his making, but one that he has to deal with, and one that wants to take his physical life. We're not talking about somebody who just wants to hurt his career, take what may rightfully be his next step up. No, he's close to losing his physical life, even within this chapter that we just read. Number one, when we find ourselves in this situation, we need to make sure that we just continue to trust God. Trust God. Because, you know, David's fearing for his life here, and evidence shows rightly so, right? But he continued to trust God. You know, God used some folks in his life, like his wife, Michal. She was faithful to him at this time. His friend, Jonathan. Also his brother-in-law, right? God used him, used those to protect him. If you go to chapter 24, you'll find that Michal is lowering David down out to be able to escape Saul. If you go to chapter 26, you'll find where David is talking with Jonathan, and basically Jonathan's finally figured out, yep, Dad's got it out for David, and there's no healing that. There's no going back. And Jonathan's finally figured this out, and Jonathan is meeting with David, and you'll find that he is giving him leave. Just go. Quite a risk to Jonathan. Quite a risk. I mean, Saul's already been angry at that particular supper that David wasn't there to begin with. And then when you find out that Jonathan is the one that gave him leave to go and not be at that supper, Jonathan's got some things that he's going to have to answer for. But God is bringing people into David's life to protect him, even at potentially their own peril. Trust God. You see, there's not anybody at work that can do something to you to keep you from getting that promotion that you might think you're due for or deserve, or you may be next in line for. And even if they do, if God allows that to happen and you don't get it right now, what's that to us? We're to trust God. You see, God is there, and he's protecting us, and he's going to continue doing that. He knows all the details that are going on. He knows Saul's heart. He knows David's heart. He knows Michael's heart. He knows Jonathan's heart. He's got control of the Philistines. So David just continued to trust God. You say, how do we know that? Well, we'll get to that later. I don't want to move forward too much in the message. But we do find David continuing to trust God. And I believe David's walking in the Spirit. Over and over and over, it says David behaved himself wisely. David continued to behave himself wisely. David was behaved more wisely than all the servants. You don't do that in the flesh. Not when somebody's trying to kill you. David just continued to trust God. Number two tonight, David will find, though he was a source of calming and a source of help to Saul at times, we know right here in this chapter, he played with his hand on the harp as other times. He was there to play that music for Saul because Saul would get a bad spirit. What did the music do? It gave him a good spirit. Oh, amen, that's sealed. I didn't care when I picked it up, but that's a blessing. But David was used by God to help Saul. He was there to be close to Saul. He was there to be a help to Saul. But it got to a point in this relationship that David separated from Saul, and that was the right thing to do. We think of Saul as being saved, right? God picked him. You think he picked a lost person to lead his people? I don't think so. Saul didn't finish well, but there is a point where David realized this is not going to change. And I believe he's humble enough and behaving wisely enough that he's not only thinking of himself, he is also thinking of Saul. And Saul doesn't need to become a murderer. The Bible talks about in the New Testament about us Christians being stumbling blocks to one another. And at some point, David was doing more harm in the relationship than good by staying around. He wasn't helping Saul. He was hurting Saul, giving him occasion more than he was able to help him. In fact, he was playing his music where before that would change Saul's spirit to something good and calm him. No, right in the middle of him playing, he's got a javelin and he's throwing it at him. Okay, well, the music's not really doing a good job, having the same effect that it did before. And so David decided that, you know what? It's time for me to separate. At some point in our life, it's especially with family, we find ourselves that we try to be a witness and we try to serve and we try to love and we try to do those things to see our family members saved and those kind of things. But at some point, when that switch flips, if you will, and you see that your spirit just... What did God say? I will not strive with men's spirit anymore. God said that. It's over. I can't fight that spirit anymore. And when we find out that who we are, what we're doing, those kind of things, is just not having the same effect as it used to. It's making things worse rather than better. We are not to compromise and change. No, we're to separate. We're to separate. David was so wise when he separated from Saul. And I believe it wasn't, yes, you fear for your life and you don't want to be killed. But there was more going on here with this separation. Let's just let him play out the rest of his kingdom. I believe even now, he knows he's going to be king, but God is going to have to remove him. God is going to have to put David on the throne, and David continues to trust God. And through this trusting God and behaving wisely, he separates from Saul, in order to just not provoke him anymore. And to can you understand that position? Where the things that we're doing that are right are actually provoking, and it's not provoking to love, and it's not provoking to salvation. It's not provoking to... It provokes another way and to something bad. And so we end up being more like a stumbling block. And David here realized that, and he separates from Saul. Number three tonight. Over and over and over through this story, we find that David did not respond in kind. Boy, just think if David, okay, I'm going to set down the harp, I'm going to take a spear out of the wall, and I'm just going to lob it back the other way. I mean, that's my first thought. Even if I'm not good at it, I want to retaliate, right? That's the flesh. But David did not respond in kind. He did not solve all of his own problems in his own wisdom, in his own way. What did he do? He let God handle it his way, in his timing. There's a lot there. Letting God be in control means that he gets to do things his way when he wants to do it. David didn't respond in kind. He let God continue to be in control. Well, that's a different level of trust. That's a different level of trust. David had multiple opportunities to get even or to solve this problem on his own. You remember that he had an opportunity. I thought I had that written down somewhere. Oh, there it is. In chapter 24, we find that he was there, Saul sleeping. And what does he do? He cuts the hem of his garment. And God smote his heart right there. Ooh, that's even too far. But David right there could have taken matters into his own hand. And who knows the timeline and how long all these things are taking place. We have this consolidated list of stories here, and you just see this happen. And you know, it's like watching a movie over 2 hours, and you're like, okay, yeah, 50 years is great. No. This is day in, day out. I'm separated from Saul, and therefore I'm pretty much banishing myself from the kingdom, and I'm living this way, and I've got some help. I've got some friends, and God's protecting me, but things are not rosy like I would have planned them. And here's an opportunity to just kind of speed things along a little bit. Because I know some of my future. God's already anointed me king. I know what's going to... Well, here's my opportunity. And he wouldn't let his man touch him. And he was even convicted in his own heart by even cutting the hem of his garment. And then used that to try to help Saul understand, hey, what's going on here? It's not good. It's not going to turn out well for you. Constantly had concern for his enemy over himself. The next time, chapter 26, he's there, and what does he do? He takes a spear and his helmet, goes back over the other hill and yells. They talk for a while. And that is when, I think that's when Saul finally says, you know what, you're more righteous than I am, and I repent. And I'm sure as much as humility as Saul could have in him at that time, after being just his life being spared twice now, that he did the best job he could do at repenting right there. And David still didn't trust Saul. So here's a, and it's a fine line, isn't it? Where we have an enemy and we're supposed to forgive, but there doesn't have to be the trust again. Okay? David didn't respond in kind. He didn't take matters into his own hands. In fact, he used those events to try to help Saul come around to repentance. Constantly concerned. You know what? I believe with all my heart that he was praying for Saul. And we'll see here in a few minutes how much he wrote about this situation in his life as well. watch tonight. Okay. Final point, number four. David, with this enemy that he didn't choose, this situation that he didn't create, the living conditions that he's been, quote, forced into, the person still seeking his life, the people that are around and close enough and know where he is are going back and reporting to Saul so he can come out and give it another shot. All these things going on in David's life. And can I tell you, if anybody had the right to play the victim in a situation, it was David at this time in his life. Boy, we're quick to that, aren't we? Feel sorry for ourselves, play, you know, just be the victim in a situation. And boy, if anybody had a right to, I mean, you and I probably, yeah, I know, David, yep, you're right. But he didn't play the victim, did he? He didn't make it all about poor me. You know what? When Jonathan finally had that light bulb moment and came out to meet him in that field, he didn't talk bad about Saul. He didn't try to turn his own son against him and tell him what an evil man Saul's being right now. And all. No, he didn't have this victim mentality. He didn't say all that stuff. No, he just said, thank you, Jonathan, for understanding and giving me leave to go. I pray for your dad. I hope everything turns out well. I have to separate. He didn't go to Facebook and say, look at what's going on in my life and what this person's doing to me. And blah, blah, blah. I'm serious. Yeah, it happens. You can't scroll through Facebook without somebody complaining about their day and what somebody else might have done or this, that did to me. And my mom did that or my brother... It's relentless. David didn't do that. And we're talking about a real enemy here. We're talking about real problems, not just somebody didn't invite me to the right family event or whatever. He didn't complain to people. Amen. He took all of his burdens, everything he was thinking, everything he was feeling, all these circumstances, everything. And what did he do? Took them to God. Look, you can read through Psalm 52, 54, 57, 59. He's writing directly about these situations. What's he doing? He's talking to God. He's laying it all out there. He's pouring his heart out to God about everything that God already knows is going on, but hey, aren't we supposed to bring it to Him? Yes. Not to others, not to Facebook, not to the world. Now hold a good testimony and show people that you're trusting in God. You see, nobody's blind in this world. People that work at lower levels, people that work, that are the bosses, they can see the things moving around. We can see what thing somebody does and the effect, and then we can see the reaction by the Christian, and we can see the reaction by the non-Christian. And boy, it ought to be just the starkest difference. And what a testimony David maintained by just not playing the victim, by just allowing and continuing to trust God and continuing to behave himself wisely. It was Saul. It was the enemy that was seeking to turn others against David. No, that's not what we... David didn't do that. That's not what we should be doing either. Hey, this guy's trying to do this to me. Will you keep an eye on that? Because I'm wondering about... Hey, they said this about... Nope. Let's trust God with it. God continued to hear David's complaints. God continued to strengthen David and give him grace through all these times and situations. Yes, he tested David through this, and yes, David passed for the most part with flying colors. But we're all, God greatly blessed David because he handled this whole section of his life the correct way, in a consistent, wise, and godly manner. And I know, I'm sure David lost sleep over this. I mean, just reading Psalms, I can't sleep. My eyes are filled with tears, all these things, and deeply hurt, but able to forgive, able to trust God, able to let God handle it His way and in His timing, able to separate and not be a problem anymore. And able to just let God work in his life, in his timing, without having to become a victim and get everyone to feel sorry for him. Did David need comfort? Absolutely. What did he do? He went to the Lord. He went to the Lord for comfort. He went to the Lord for strength. Jesus Christ, the same way. Even when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he left his disciples, he brought two with him, then he left them, and he went on to the garden to pray. Did he spill out everything to his disciples beforehand of what agony he was facing right now and how hard it was and this? Nope. He kept all that. The Bible uses this phrase a lot. He kept all that and pondered it in his heart and then gave it to the Lord. There may be a time in your life, and there's been times in my life when I figured out, you know what? I don't know how it happened. I don't know where, what thing finally flipped it. But you know what? I've made myself an enemy to someone else, because hey, we're not perfect. And this person, I want to, you know what? I've got the power to say, you know what, you don't have a job here anymore. And is that me? Is that my flesh? Or is that really what needs to happen here? When you find out that you've made yourself an enemy to someone else, we have to acknowledge it. We have to repent. I think Saul gave it a good shot. I really do. But at some point, that pride and losing that power and all those things was just too much for him. But hey, there's we can be on both sides of this thing. We can figure out, you know what? They didn't do anything to me. Or that's all they did to me, and now I feel like this towards them? Uh-oh. Now I don't pray for them anymore. Now I want to see bad things happen in their life. I ask myself this question: if something bad happened in this person's life, would I be like, all right? Or would I be sorry? Even though, hey, maybe they did something to me. David, when Saul was killed, David mourned with Israel for King Saul. Mourned. David took, well, he was lying when he said it, but he took a guy who said he had killed Saul and said, no, you can't touch the Lord's anointed, and executed him. His enemy. What a great amount of respect and love that he showed for his enemy. Doesn't Matthew chapter 5 say something about that? Love your enemies. Do good. I think David lived the epitome of Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 45. At some point, if you're not there, you're going to find yourself in a situation where you're like, man, I don't know why this person doesn't like me. I don't know why. I mean, it's not only that they don't like me, it's they actually want to see me fail. Sometimes we find out when we fail and we see how happy or how much pleasure it brings the person that has become or made themselves our enemy, and we had no idea. What do? Trust God. Trust God. Let God handle it. Separate if we have to. And all the things that are going on in our heart, pour them out to God and not the world. Hold a good testimony. And boy, God will bless that. God blessed David so much in his kingdom. And it was because of how it started. How he allowed it to start. Every head bowed, every eye closed tonight.